Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Sports Fantasy Podcast. It's me, Liz Loza, and I am joined, as I am on every Sunday night, by Matt Harmon and Scott Pianowski. It's week 16 and we are celebrating. Even if we don't win, we're celebrating.
It's good that we're here finally at the finish line.
Woo! You got oxygen on your mouth. I feel like Linval Joseph after that touchdown run earlier in the season.
Yeah, it's exhausting. The NFL season is it's the shortest, I feel like, of all the sports, but it definitely feels like the longest. There's just so much that happens. There's so much information that smacks you in the face on a week-to-week basis.
Yes.
But I don't think anybody really cares about our struggles here.
No, but it's such a visceral game, right? I mean, most of what happens in a six-hour segment. A condensed 80-90% of the week is in that 6 hours. And, you know, you have highs, you have lows, you have all sorts of penalties and reviews. Your team looks great. Your team looks like trash. And, you know, if you get a couple of breaks, then you're happy now. But, you know, one guy wins a league or one girl wins a league and everybody else has a story. It's still a lot of fun, but, you know, there's a lot of ebb and flow along the way.
Indeed. So we should, I think, look at today's and Saturday's, well, mostly today's slate of games, and think about what the headlines might be tomorrow.
I'll start.
That makes me laugh. I'm sorry.
I'll start with my headline, and it came to me right away as soon as Brett asked for it, because it had me thinking as I'm watching Twitter, you know, melt down over this. My headline is CJ Anderson adds another layer, he created another battlefield in the great war of do running backs matter. As we know, CJ Anderson comes in, I believe this was the most yards he's ever rushed for today with the Los Angeles Rams. I think that's accurate, but comes in off the street. I mean, he gets signed on frickin' Monday. It's the third
6 days.
Yeah, it's the third damn team he's played for all year. He comes in and has an unbelievable game, obviously in a good matchup, of course, against the Arizona Cardinals. The Rams were controlling that game throughout, but I mean, it was great to see. You know, running backs don't matter Twitter and CJ Anderson is actually very good Twitter, like try to stumble over each other on their way to running a victory lap. It was incredible. I mean, I could care less whether you got, I said this to you, Liz, earlier today, like I had no conviction about which one of these backs, you know, in the LA Rams backfield, who I would have rather had. It does not matter to me who you picked before the game. But I mean, coming out of this game, I think there's gonna be a lot of talk about
plug and plays.
Yeah, the plug and play nature of the running back position. And look, I get it because, you know, I tweeted about this a little bit and had somebody come back and say, you know, you just can't, you know, it's not as replaceable as people make it out to me. I'm like, I get it. I'm not full on running backs don't matter. That's not my thing. But we do have just a considerable amount of evidence now, I'd say at this point, that if you have a good ecosystem around the running back position, whether you're Pittsburgh, you're the LA Rams, you're the LA Chargers to some degree, you're the Kansas City Chiefs, all of these teams have cycled out their top running backs and had, you know, a bunch of jabronis come in and give them pretty good production.
We need more than one game to make a sample size. Also, part of this has to do with depth and fresh legs. So isn't the answer then, sure, Todd Gurley, I believe his talent is game changing, but maybe have depth behind him that you're comfortable with. And I did have strong convictions about John Kelly having a better shot at touches over CJ Anderson. And now I have paused because I'm worried that they aren't as confident in him.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, this was actually C.J. Anderson's second highest rushing yards of his career. But to your point, there's nobody fresher than C.J. Anderson because he was doing nothing in Carolina. I mean, he was doing nothing to the point where he actually asked the team, please just release me because, you know, freaking Christian McCaffrey's playing 100% of the snaps. I'm not even doing anything.
And then he was in Oakland for like 15 seconds,
yeah,
right?
I mean, had a cup of coffee there, yeah. And then he
rode
bounced.
The bike.
Yeah.
Did a couple Peloton seconds.
And they were like, all right, that's enough of that. I agree with you in a sense because, like I said, I'm not full on like just running backs don't matter or anything like that. I just think the position is very replaceable. And if I was personally running an NFL team, which breaking news, I'm not, I would think long and hard about whether I wanted to invest a top five pick in a running back, especially whether I'd want to pay them on a second contract. Because again, we consistently see that Pittsburgh's able to run out guys and get good production. You know, if you have a good ecosystem.
Seattle.
Yeah, right.
Carson.
If you have a good ecosystem around your running back and you build that up, I don't know that it makes a ton of sense to do anything but just cycle in a bunch of guys who, you know, is the gap production wise really worth the extra squeeze there?
Baltimore's found guys out of nowhere the last couple of years. Gus Edwards was on nobody's cheat sheet a few weeks ago. And then, you know, last year they took one of Seattle's rejects. Interesting to me about Anderson. I was leaning towards Kelly only because I put a little bit of stock, and I guess this was a mistake. I know running back is a position you can amp up really quickly, you know, plug and play. But I thought maybe the fact that Kelly had been with the offense, it is a Sean McVay offense. I thought that would speak to him at least being maybe first in line or them trusting him in some packages. But we know, look, you couldn't bring in a quarterback the week of the game and expect that much, or a receiver or tight end. But yet running back is the one position where you have a puncher's chance, because it just teams run the same plays, the same running plays. And you know, Anderson is a veteran back. So I understated what his ability, what his workload could be, maybe what kind of shape he was in and how familiar he could be with this offense. And so I apologize for that. But, you know, this was a week where transition to my headline, Jamal Williams and Elijah McGuire both went ham. It was kind of a wedding game with the Jets and the Packers, that overtime game, that glorious 82-point game. Something old, Aaron Rodgers. Something new, Sam Darnold. Something borrowed, Jamal Williams borrowed the starting job from from Jones out for the year. And something, well, I guess the Jets are green, they're not blue. But Jamal Williams and Elijah McGuire were great fantasy plays because you could get to projectable volume for them before the game. We knew, in fact, Williams was the only Packer running back who had a carry in this game. And he was actually sniped a little bit by Rodgers, who had two unusual rushing touchdowns. But still, Williams had a great game. Looked really spry, too. What a wonderful run around the left end for that touchdown. I thought he ran with power, decisiveness, the best I've seen him look in a while. And McGuire, he wasn't maybe that efficient per play, but I mean, he was active in the passing game. He played in all packages. He dominated the touches from the backfield. So much of fantasy is opportunity. So much of it is who's going to touch the ball. And if you can get to those things before the game, if you have a very plausible case for running back touching it 15 or 20 times, sorry, the Alfred Blue thing didn't work out today, which I thought was a reasonable, not a proactive play, but certainly something you could have gone to. But I think a lot of people are going to have Williams and McGuire on the championship teams. Because remember, too, with Williams, into the waiver pool this week, the only people who were bidding on him were probably the people on the championship game. So, you know, I felt lucky to get him in one league where I'm going to win because it was me or the other guy. I happened to get him in one game where I'm getting trampled. Mike Clay got him and I didn't. But again, if you can get the projectable volume beforehand with a running back who looks pretty good, that's fantasy gold. And, you know, gotta give it up to Sam Darnold. You know, a lot of people have been saying all season, oh, you know, Barkley, you generational talent, and, you know, the Jets whiffed on Darnold. What are they doing? Darnold's been hurt. He's had some bad games. He's looked really good the last 2 weeks against a solid Houston team. You know, Green Bay's not any good, but I thought Darnold looked great today. And if we were redrafting, I think he's the guy who goes before Barkley. As wonderful as Barkley is, just to piggyback Matt's point, that's not a position I would prioritize or throw heavy draft capital towards. I think Barkley is about as good a hit as you could have at that position. And where are the Giants? They stink anyway.
Yeah, a couple of things in this game, which there are a lot of things come out of it. One, Scott, I know this is something you always like to harp on, but you know, this was like everybody's favorite sleeper hit in this game. You know, people loved Jamal Williams, hit. Elijah McGuire, everybody loved him, hit. Robbie Anderson, everybody loved Robbie Anderson, hit. So great to see that actually work out for us every now and again. I thought too, coming
ESB
out,
hit.
ESB hit. Like, and if you're a dumbass like me and you drafted Jamal Williams on all your best ball teams back in the seventh round, hey,
nice.
Finally, we got something good out of it. But I love your point about Darnold, and I'm going to write about this in my piece tonight. Not only is it great to see Darnold, who I think is going to be very good, you know, start to establish himself, it's also worth noting, like you said, he came off a terrible four-game stretch before these last two games when he's looked pretty good. And I was talking about this with Patrick Claibon the other night, my friend from NFL Network, that, you know, people are really out there rushing to judgment on Lamar Jackson about him as a passer and, oh, he'll never be able to do it. And I just think it's worth remembering that I just am over, like, this rush to judgment with rookie quarterback thing. Like, Sam Darnold's looking very good right now. He's looking like the exact right pick that he has been all along. And I would love to see some of that same patience thrown to other quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson or Mitchell Trubisky to a certain extent earlier in the year.
Well, if processing speed is a piece of a scouting report coming out of college, that shouldn't it also be a consideration in a rookie's year? Because that to me isn't just about processing speed, isn't just about looking beyond your first read and seeing what the defense is giving you, but also how quickly the game slows down for you. And we talked on the Twitch show we did earlier today about how Sam Darnold's anticipation has really mm-hmm. shown through over the past couple of games, and how everything does seem to be that magical slowing down that quarterbacks always talk about is coming into view for him.
And for some, and it comes at a different pace for all of these guys. I mean, for Baker Mayfield, I felt like it came very, very mm-hmm. quickly. He looks like a natural back there, and he has, pretty much since we saw him on the NFL field. With Lamar Jackson specifically, he's a tough one for me because there's no, obviously, like, I think it goes without saying that what they're doing with him right now is not sustainable. He can't run like he is right now and not get clobbered at some point. However, he's such a, I think he's the best running quarterback I've seen ever. I think he's an unbelievable.
Even more than Vic?
Maybe even more than Vic. I don't know. Vic was just on the fringe of like when I was really coming into.
He's skinnier than Vic, isn't he?
He's taller.
Vic
but
was skinny too, though. Vic, I always was worried every hit Vic took was going to be his last.
He's like I say, he's such a dazzling runner. Like mm-hmm. every time he takes off, I just think he is very decisive to be like, okay, it's not there, take off, and you gain yards, and that's overall, it's good for the team. It's good for the team to him to run like that. So to me, I'm very back and forth with Lamar about where I feel like he will be, whether he ever will hit that point of is he going to slow down. But I would just love us to extend the guy, you know, 5 games into starting his NFL career, a little bit of patience here, especially since everything is working right now.
Well, hot takes prove supreme, especially in, as you know, an age of social media. So I want to get to my point because I want to talk about Nick Chubb, a player smash and dash in Georgia, right? There were so many good things said about him. He looked so great, had that devastating knee injury. And then everybody said, meh, that's it. That's it. It's over. He's never going to come back. He went ahead and crushed the combine. No, it's this like first take lock that people refuse to move away from, right? Like, nope, I saw that knee injury. It looked really bad. I say he can't be better. He was not better. Oh, well, he did crush the combine. But you know what? The combine doesn't matter. It matters in these instances that I'm talking about, but not this particular instance, because I made a lock on this take, you know, months and months ago. And then, well, if he was that great, then why is Carlos Hyde running ahead of him? And Hugh Jackson buried him. You talked about this. I saw you tweeting, Scott. Hugh Jackson buried him. But since Freddie Kitchens has taken over, Nick Chubb has averaged 115 yards per game. That was in week 9. I don't think he saw more than 3 touches until week 7. And today he set a new Browns rookie rushing record with 112 yards on 19 attempts. My prediction, and this is tomorrow's headline, Nick Chubb will be a top 10 fantasy running back in 2019.
I love that. I agree. You know, Hugh Jackson thought maybe Baker Mayfield should sit out the whole season. He didn't take a first team rep. Yeah, Mayfield didn't in the summer, which sounds clown. Silly. And then you see some of the games Chubb had. What do you have, like 3 touches against Oakland, but 2 of them were long runs? I mean, you know, he was just jumping out of the box, and they couldn't find touches for him. Mercifully, Hugh Jackson sent away, of course, sent to the Bengals to infect them for a while.
Sent away, it's just 2 hours away.
It's just, yeah, sent to a nice farm upstate. It's nice to see hope with the Browns. You know, this is a team that we always knew had talent. I mean, last year they probably should have won a handful of games. You know, they obviously went 0-16, but they could maybe, you could see the seedlings of a 9-7, 8-8 team next year. And what a fun division it's going to be. I mean, you talked about the Ravens earlier. I mean, that team, I don't want to play them with Jackson terrifying as a runner. And that defense is so physical. They made a really good Chargers team look terrible on Saturday.
Oh, Eric Weddle, take another lap. I don't care. People were talking about what a jerk he is. Take 40 laps.
Cares?
Eat it up.
If I'm the Ravens, I take Wink Martindale's cell phone and I confiscate it. I don't want anybody calling that guy because he's going to be a hot. Somebody's going to want to hire him, promote him.
Him and Vic Fangio.
What job he's done with that team. I did not want to play Baltimore. But the Browns, so happy to see. You know, I've been waiting for Njoku to do something. He popped with a touchdown, then a really long catch to salt the game away today. Chubb was terrific. Didn't get the touchdowns, unfortunately. Dazzling play at the left pylon, just out by a foot. So he got unlucky there, but he looked terrific. I agree with you. I think he's first round considerable. I really would be happier if Kitchens stayed here. I hope Greg Williams hasn't played his way into a head coaching job.
I was going to ask that question. Have they backed into hiring Greg freaking Williams as the head coach? I don't think so. I'm praying that does not actually happen.
Can't he go down to Miami? Wouldn't that be a perfect? Like, just go there. That's like a great culture fit.
I I guess. I mean,
can't maybe, you see Kiko Alonso and Greg Williams just being homies?
Tell me they're firing Adam Gase, by the way. Tell me. I want to buy them. If I won the lottery, I'd buy the Marlins. I'd buy the Marlins, too, so I could disband them. And then I would buy the Dolphins so I could fire
well,
Adam
I think
Gase.
You have to, like, pay out Fergie because she's got...
What the hell do we even think about Adam Gase? Because I saw some people talking about this. Like, if he gets shown the door, you know, he'll have an offensive coordinator job in, like, 5 minutes. And I... guess
like Greg Williams, he's doing on the Greg Williams plan.
Yeah.
Well, all these people want to hire me. Offers. I have 10 jobs or 11 jobs, whatever it was.
And it's but it's like what are we doing with the Adam Gase thing? Like, to me, he's made so many wrong decisions as an.
But you know what the Dolphins do? Adam Gase knows how to.
They are do. You're right.
Pull out these gadgety wins on a regular basis, right? And that to me is evidence of. Of an inventive play calling mind and harkens back to what we saw in Chicago, what was hinted at. And so I'm wondering if, number one, maybe he's just not an HC.
That's a fair point.
Or number two, ownership is suppressing maybe. Some ideas here.
I just think, hey, look, I don't
you get a dead Jacksonville team coming to your city. They don't have anything to play for. They have a second string quarterback or two second string quarterbacks, really. You get to take that team down. Yeah. It looked horrible today. That's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Not just the win and the loss. It's an inexcusable 3 hours of performance.
Yeah. My thing is just like they have an explosive young running back in Kenyon Drake. They just never seem to really want to feature him. Devontae Parker, like I was never in on Devontae Parker, but I think how hard they've been on him is a little strange considering they're not, you know, just froth with playmakers or whatever.
With Drake, just find out. Just, you know what? If you give him 20 touches, it doesn't happen. Fine.
Well, didn't they give him close to that today?
I mean, but it took old Frank Gore, you know, finally biting the dust. To see that happen. And it's funny too, because we saw at the end of last
Drake
season.
Drake had all of 10 touches today. So I don't know if he found out what he'd do with a starter's workload.
I mean, we did find out though at the end of last season. And Drake
was
great.
Oh, we saw in a month. That is such a small sample size.
I get it,
like,
but
he's not an every down back.
But is Frank Gore your running back in your next playoff team? You know, where are you going with that?
I don't know.
What is your plan?
If running back talent doesn't matter and you've got a vet who's still putting up 800 yards on a season, and you only have to pay a league minimum for him because he wants to play at home, that's not a bad economic choice as long as you can pay money elsewhere.
It's not that running back talent doesn't matter. It's not that hard to find a running back with upside. But a running back who's 126 years old like Frank Gore has no upside. You are giving yourself no chance to get lucky with a Philip Lindsay type of player, with a Gus Edwards type of player, with an unknown player, because you're playing a guy like Frank Gore who's a totally capped ceiling. It makes no sense. Try to get lucky with a player who might be better than you think he is.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's Kalen Ballage. Kalen Ballage
is
a big
Maybe
play
it is.
Guy.
Who couldn't get arrested on this team for 3 months. You know, he wasn't playing
fair.
Either.
That's
yeah. I mean, a bit of a tangent there with Adam Gase, but I just wonder where he really sits in the stock of like great, you know, because I feel like he was the supposed to be Sean McVay before Sean McVay, you know, the guy who was.
No, that's Mark Trestman.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's true. Man.
Trestman wore the smart glasses. If you wear like those geeky glasses, I think people think you're a little bit smarter than you are.
I hung out with Andrew Hawkins, Baby Hawk, a couple of days ago, and he played with under Trestman for the Alouettes. And I was legit, as a Bears fan, said, what was the deal with Trestman? Like, just too geeky, could not control the locker room, offensive mind ahead of his time. He was like 100%. That guy should be an OC in the league, but he let that locker room. There were guys who knew they would, you know, be paid ahead of him. So it didn't, he just doesn't inspire that kind of cojones.
Nice.
Wasn't one of them also in
Hawk,
on the show
like
with
it.
You?
I like it. Well. Was that a conversation in French?
It was not in French, but it was offline. Let's see. What else? Who else do we want to talk about?
That wasn't a conversation. That was a direct message.
Well, the Browns, though, fantasy upside in 2019, I think is a great call. I think there's a lot to like here.
I was wrong about Baker Mayfield, and I feel like I can't stand when people try to hedge their wrongness. In fact, last night over dinner, my husband looked at me. He's like, what do you think of Baker Mayfield? Because he knew heading into the season, I was like, I don't know. I really like Tyrod. Like, come on.
I like when you are, especially your significant other, asks you a question that they already know the answer to. Like, well, so I want you to really tell me how wrong you are.
And I was like, no.
That's great pillow talk. What do you think of Baker Mayfield?
That is what the Loza household does on a Saturday night. And I said I was totally wrong. Like, I didn't appreciate his bravado. I didn't think he'd be able to back it up. He has. Now I love it. And I think, frankly, the city of Cleveland needs a little bit of swag, and I'm digging it.
Yep. I mean, he makes football
fun. Back to
fun.
Chubb really quickly. David Johnson or Chubb next year? I know this is really early, but let's just throw this out there.
Well, we got David Johnson talk coming up in the At Me segment.
Oh, okay. I mean, here, okay, I'll save that.
Here right now, though, if I had gun to my head right now, I got to make a decision. I think I would say Chubb, just because I'm more confident in the offensive infrastructure.
The arrow pointing up, you know, Mayfield, I feel good about. I don't know that Arizona has anything really working. Fitzgerald isn't back. Rosen showed, you know, I'm not going to give up on him, but he showed very little this year.
I want to Scott, this is going to be a feud for you and I in 29. I will not. I know I just like talked about heading away from your first take locks, but I refuse to back away from Josh Rosen. I'm not doing it.
But Scott has found
the world team tennis makes a comeback and you want to take him, fine. You
know? Scott has found a way to say, like, I don't know about Josh Rosen. Every podcast, I feel like Scott's found a way to, I don't know about this Josh Rosen guy. Which I get it. Well, look, I mean, it's impossible to even say anything good about Arizona.
He showed
Arizona.
His toughness today. You heard that on
and
broadcast.
Little help. I do think Kirk is an interesting player. That's the guy in Arizona I'll have shares of next year is Christian Kirk.
And they probably will be firing Steve Wilkes. I think he'll be one and done. So.
Yeah.
Oh, what about
done.
Bidwell and the other one?
Well, Bidwell's the owner, but Keim.
Yeah, Keim. Bidwell
you know,
and
when
owner.
When he's not out there, you know, getting a friggin'
Bidwell,
deal.
Bidwell and Keim sitting, you know, they panned him during the broadcast. And like those two, like just sitting there all doughy looking. Glassy-eyed.
I think Keim probably gets canned, too. But that's just a guess.
Oh, sure. Let's can them all.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to hear if Matt Patricia blamed the media for the Kyle Rudolph Hail Mary touchdown. I think the media was probably at fault. Really poor posture.
Yeah, it's the posture.
All right. Well, let's talk about Steelers and Saints because there was a lot of consternation on the last episode. I don't know if you guys listened, but Dalton thought that, well, I think, Matt, you walked in and you had a little hot take. I believe there were some thoughts that this might underwhelm, that this wasn't the start your dudes game. But in fact, it turned out to be everything a fantasy owner would hope for.
Yeah. No, I mean,
all the Antonio Brown hate, too, right? Like, you know, he's really their number two receiver.
Oh,
That kind of went.
But you know what? Matt Harmon got his juju revenge in the last moments of the game.
Hey, I don't have any negative ill to wish to Juju Smith-Schuster, but
you hexed him. I saw it.
Huh? No. Anyways,
Harmon hex. The Harmon hex was out.
No, I don't. I'm not a hexer. Anyways, but Steelers Saints. Yeah, it was a shootout. And the Antonio Brown thing. Let me tell you, that's been on my radar a little bit. The people are like, oh, has the torch been passed to Juju from AB? Give me a damn break. And look, I think some people
want to be first. People want to claim it. Sure. Their flag down. Say that's mine.
And it's funny because, you know,
because they did a pizza commercial together.
Well, I think there was some reasonable statistical evidence that you could point to say, hey, Antonio Brown from efficiency perspective is not quite where he has been in recent years. And that's fair. But sometimes Twitter is hard to tell because it's hard to tell, is this a serious take or is this trolling or what's really going on here? But there was definitely some the streets were chirping a little bit about, hey, is Juju out producing Antonio Brown? And to me, one, AB just today.
Oh, that one-handed. Oh.
Well, of course, but 15 touchdowns now this season. That's the most he's ever had in his career. He finally hits triple-digit catches for the sixth year in a row. This is the guy's down year. I mean, give me a break. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's been more quote-unquote efficient, but that's what happens when you're not the ISO X receiver out there and that's all you're doing is running routes against best corner, against press coverage. You're getting targets on the sideline. You're not doing those little layup over the middle routes, you know, as the flanker receiver, the big slot. Like, if people can't get that through their heads that what those two guys are doing is almost completely different from a receiver perspective, I don't know. So that was on my radar a little bit going into this game. But yeah, I was definitely
I also get that Juju, what he's doing at such a tender age is
incredible.
You haven't seen it that many times. It's incredible. So, you know, like if their take on Brown and Juju wants to be more about how much they love Juju, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I agree.
It's funny the Saints won this game. I didn't think the Saints played that great in this game, but they found a way to win. I mean,
they had several screw-ups. They had several screw-ups. You're right. I don't know. This game's on my radar a little bit.
Would you give Breeze the MVP? I think Mahomes should be the MVP, but I think Breeze might get the Lifetime Achievement Award MVP.
If Breeze gets the MVP over Mahomes, I'm going to be pissed.
It's the wrong pick.
Yeah, it's the wrong pick. Like, Breeze, even for most of
today. You've just ensured he will get it.
Well, give me just another reason to get pissed off about something.
He should have won it in 2009. Manning never should have been the MVP. I go back and forth with Scott Kazmaier on this, where Breeze had the better stats. It's like, and then Kazmaier tries to make it out, well, Manning didn't have any help, which is just preposterous. And by the way, the Colts were favored in that Super Bowl over the Saints, so Manning had plenty of help, thank you. Breeze had much better numbers.
Yeah,
that's the year Breeze should have won it.
I think if Breeze gets it, it is a lifetime achievement award, and it is very, very incorrect. I think Mahomes has been more dazzling. He's been more consistent. Breeze has had a, kind of an ugly stretch here over the last. I know the finish line will look good today, but he missed some open throws today for sure.
Yeah, and that's didn't not play well in that 3-game road hitch either.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no. they were naming the score for about 6 or 7 weeks, but and when the MVP is not clear, I think how you finish matters. You know, it's not, this isn't like
the last thing people remember is what clinches it for you.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's important. And, you know, the stuff up for grabs, right? I mean, you know, if the Saints had lost today, you know, maybe they wouldn't have the number one seed, but I would give it to Mahomes. Nice to see Ted Ginn back on the field. I know he's not a great fantasy player, although 74 yards would be useful, but at least it gives them just more opportunity to stretch the field out. They haven't really hit on any of their other number two receivers. Kirkwood makes a play now and then, and a really soul-crushing drop. Traquan Smith has been hurt. You know, their tight ends are, you know, they're not fantasy factors. I mean, they have a bunch of guys who really would be totally fine number two, number three tight ends. They don't really have a starter there. So it's interesting. This is an offense where when it comes to playoff leagues, you're only going to want to draft the main guys. There aren't the secondary pieces that a Saints offense usually has.
Let's talk about, as we head into 2019, fantasy resolutions. In fact, we asked our Twitter followers what some of their resolutions were for the new year.
Don't at me, bro.
At JLewis320 says, no David Johnson. I would say don't be short-sighted.
I 100% agree with you on this, even though I just said right now, today.
Between he and Chubb.
Yeah, but I reserve the right to change that opinion by the time we roll around to August drafts, because the offensive infrastructure is what matters here right in Arizona. If they get their starting center back, they get more offensive line improvements, they add more than a bunch of total jokers in the wide receiver core.
They're not burdened by Mike McCoy for the bulk of the season. Come on!
Yeah, they hire a real offensive innovator. They install more of a whatever they're going to sell us as a Rosen-friendly offense is. Like Dallas tried to sell us that they were installing a Dak-friendly offense when Allen Hurns was...
Receivers?
Yeah, when Allen Hurns was the top receiver. It doesn't even matter anymore. Yeah, no, if the offensive infrastructure changed, I think that David Johnson could be a very good value pick because we know he's good. And
I like this take, actually, because this take means that David Johnson's draft stock will be low, and I am happy to scoop value.
Sure.
You have to think you could get him in the second round probably. You just get two games all season with a run of 20 yards or more. There's just no splash plays here. I know that obviously everything's been working against him. McCoy was a joke. Leftwich wasn't ready for the job. The line has had all sorts of injuries and probably wasn't good to begin with. And then, you know, I've talked about their quarterback plenty, but Johnson hasn't looked like the same guy to me. I think you can't take him in the first round. And in the second round, I expect to have somebody juicy who I'm excited to pick proactively in a better offense, because let's get down to it. Your players on your first two or three players should be on offenses you're happily investing in. I don't think Arizona, no matter who they hire, is going to be that type of offense next year. I'm not going to take him in the second round. I think that's when he goes.
Well, then maybe he'll go in the third. Or now I know what to aim for in Stopa if I'm not relegated because I came in last.
So. Brad's going to be relegated. I don't think Stopa wants to because Brad's so good for the league, you know, from a personality standpoint.
Because of his point total?
Yeah, it was by point total. You're not relegated, baby. You are in like Flynn.
My
like
point Matt total Flynn. is not horrible, but my wins loss.
You're unlucky. You took it very gracefully. You had ridiculously bad luck. There are teams fighting for playoff spots who had like the same amount of points as you did.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But it's not about me. It's about all of our listeners. And at Chirper Jones is resolving to stick with his quarterback longer. Apparently this year, he dropped Russell Wilson, a notorious late season surger, way too early and could have used him all year. I think this is part of a larger conversation, not just quarterback. I understand why at quarterback you might, because of the depth of the position, feel like you can drop and move and make moves a little bit more quickly. But keeping a player, being married to your bench, that is one of those tricky things in fantasy. Scott, you are an incredible strategist at the game. So what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I love the Chirper Jones name. I'm not crazy about the take. I don't want to get anchored to anything. I mean, there's something you'd have to be patient about. You know, if Todd Gurley has a couple of bad games, you get to ride it out, or Antonio Brown, whatever. But quarterback, there's always so many options. I mean, look at the quarterbacks who won leagues for people today. I mean, Mayfield and Darnold, you know, two guys who were probably unrosterable in most leagues early in the season. I'm not going to get anchored to a quarterback. Russell Wilson's terrific. I wonder if there's a reason why, I don't know if we've talked about this, about why he's had so many great second half runs and December runs, although he's not playing well tonight, but he'll probably have good numbers by the end of the night. But I don't want to get anchored to a quarterback. That's not something I can get behind. I get it when you cut a player. Here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. If you never cut or trade away a player and regret it, you're playing far too conservatively.
Right. This is something Matt and I talk about, right? I'd rather finish last, as I've done, or first, but I never really want to finish sixth. Because that's just... That's just
who
no
cares?
Fun.
What's
right,
the point?
Right. At Vinny189, and this is, again, interesting. He is resolved to draft a legitimate tight end. But I pose to the group, what is a legitimate tight end?
Who are they? Show me who they are. I'll draft those guys,
too. Was Evan Engram a legitimate tight end? Heading into this season, he looked like he could have been. What about Kyle Rudolph, who scored twice today after not finding the end zone since week three? What about Rob Gronkowski, who, according to Matt, is washed? Name me a legit tight end.
I said today, Tom Brady looks 71, and then I realized, well, that means Gronkowski is 69.
Very nice.
No catches today.
In a day where there's no Josh Gordon on the perimeter.
I know. It's sad.
The Patriots, oh God, like I am going to regret saying this, but I don't fear them at all coming into the AFC playoffs. Like
neither do I.
The only thing I fear is that they're
great
not
at beating bad teams. They're great at beating teams that give the game away to them. They can't beat a really talented. I don't know how they ever beat the Chiefs. And they're not going to have the requisite amount of home games.
Yeah, that Chiefs game feels like 1,000 years ago.
Sure does.
Here's the thing, okay? If you want to target a tight end, you can target Kelce, going to be a second-round pick. You can target Ertz, going to be a second-round pick. In fact, Kelce or Ertz, they might even go in the first round of some leagues, especially if tight end scoring is incentivized. George Kittle's going damn early. You know, that days of getting Kittle under market are long gone. You want to pay up for Eric Ebron? You want to pay up for Jared Cook? I mean, who are the tight ends you're going to want? If you don't get Kelce or Ertz, okay, or even Kittle, I guess. I don't know who else here you could even feel that confident about.
Trey Burton.
Oh my God, Trey Burton. I normally don't leave fantasy seasons like feeling negatively towards players because they don't care. It's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. But I feel a little salty about Trey Burton because like I had to start. It was one of those things where it was not working week after week after week after week. But in one playoff league, I was like, well, I got to start him. Who the hell else am I going to start? And like knowing that it was going to screw me over, and then it did screw me over, I feel a little salty about
that. Mark this down. I'm going to want Chris Herndon next year. I'm going to have him on teams.
Oh, he's there you go. That's a nice call.
He's going to be a profile guy for me.
That's a nice call. But yeah, I mean, tight ends in general, it sucks. I don't want to draft that position. Or Jared Cook, he'll be a free agent this year. He's probably going to sign somewhere else.
Well, what if somebody said to you next year, they say, hey, Harmon, hey, Loza, I could probably get Kelce or Ertz in the second round. Are you on board with that? Or would you say, no, just try to get lucky?
Give me all those running backs.
Yeah.
I just want all the running backs. Yeah. Again.
Got to take the swings at the running backs, the receivers that have like 150 target ceilings. Like all those guys are just going to be so much more valuable than a little piece of mine.
You're chasing those positions if you don't get some of them early.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why I would never take Aaron Rodgers. You know, when Aaron Rodgers years, he'd go early or Brady or Manning. I just, you can't do that because then you're behind a position.
Yeah.
Exactly. A lot of people added us, by the way, just I'm going to audible here. They added us about, and this is just the pain of championship week. Just like, oh, no, I'm not playing fantasy next year. It's too unpredictable. Wah. Give me a break, cowards.
You know what else is unpredictable? Waking up in the morning.
Oh, geez.
I'm sorry. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, you got to live every day.
I thought you meant you wake up and you realize it's like 12:30. That's happened to me.
I wish.
No kidding.
Yeah, Liz, by the way, just a side note, you Instagram messaged me on because I'm like a millennial. I posted my avocado toast or whatever on Saturday. She's like, you're up early. It was like 9:30. That's not early.
It's for you, though. 9:30.
It's always rise and grind season at the Harmon household.
When you're making your avocado toast at 9:30.
With the unpredictable thing about fantasy, okay, accept it.
Yeah.
Total points is more fair. Head-to-head is more fun, okay? If you want the quote-unquote best team to win, run a points league, and good for you. Go score a million points.
What kind of life
is this?
There's
an accessibility. Head-to-head is accessible. It brings in some randomness, some flukiness. Yeah, there's a little bit of free parking and Monopoly feel to it, which, Matt Harmon's probably never played Monopoly.
Hey, I played a lot of Monopoly back in my day.
All right, so throw some variance in the game. So friggin' what? You know what? The best teams win. If you have a really good team and you show me a really crummy team, your chances are a lot better. If you want to best team to win more often, you know what? Two words for you. Fantasy baseball, okay? Go grind for 7 months.
But It's so shocking to me that people are like, it's so unpredictable. Is that what you want in your life? You want predictability? You want...
People don't
want
to lose.
You want that opening scene from Edward Scissorhands and Suburban? Give me a break. Get out of here.
And I really personally think... and. You
get
know,
some umami in your life, fools. Add some fish sauce.
I feel like every year we go through this, I feel like, you know, fantasy analysts are going back and forth about how we can change the game to make it better. And
oh, stop it. Nobody's doing that. Who's doing that?
You need to sign on that.
I do that.
You need to sign on that God. Miserable website called Twitter.com a little more often and inject Twitter, the taste right. into
we
your
can
vein.
Make the game better?
But
well, I do like starting more guys. I think more starters is a good idea.
Oh, Christ. We're going
to
do
Super
this
flex,
now?
I agree. That type of thing.
I agree with you to an extent, Scott, that I think that's very true. I think starting more players is good. But I'm talking from, like, how do we get the unpredictability out of fantasy?
Right. How do we weed out these upsets? We don't want the upsets to happen anymore.
It's
we want
fun.
Duke to win every year.
Well, you want everybody to run in inflatable suits so no one gets hurt either. Like this. Sometimes
you know
things
if
happen.
weird shit like Derrick Henry's Jacksonville Thursday night
four
domination
right.
or CJ Anderson's just explosion today. If you can't get past the like your hurt feelings on that, like don't watch football,
also,
man. It's
like,
beautiful.
You know what? You don't watch college football where Nick Saban wins every freaking game.
Yeah, right.
There
and
you
resiliency,
go.
Yeah. Isn't this why we hate the Patriots? Because it's so predictable.
Yes.
They win all the time. Also,
yes.
if the Browns hadn't whiffed on a million picks, we wouldn't be as geeked about Baker and what they're offering us right now. This is resiliency, people. Stop it. You don't want a tuna fish sandwich for lunch every day. Every once in a while, you want to throw in a hoagie and a maybe a PB&J. Come on.
Yeah, sometimes
tuna
you want to go to the bowling alley
gross.
Thursday night and, you know, fat kid regress and eat all fried food. Sometimes life is all about the variance.
Harmon had himself a day.
Yeah, if you don't, and you know what? Seriously, if you don't like it, play better. Draft better, pick better, waiver wire better. Make better start decisions, follow better fantasy experts, you know, whatever.
In 2019, we're basically saying be better.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that always pops up in these. What's your resolution for next year? Never listen to the experts ever. Good. Don't listen.
No, you can listen. You should listen. In fact,
you should consume the content. Just don't make your own damn decisions.
It comes down to really simple. Listen to everybody you respect and make your own decision. That's what you should do in life.
You know,
there's a bunch of people I respect. They don't decide where I'm going to invest or what I'm going to do with my life.
And if you're really, really into it and you want to check out college prospects, then you should go to our college football experts, Dan Wetzel, Pat Forty, and Pete Thamel, because they'll be doing a live edition of the Yahoo Sports College podcast the Friday before the national championship game at the Uproar Brewing Company in San Jose, California. Listen, this show is free to attend, so don't chirp at me that you spent all your money on holiday gifts and booze, because there will be tons of prizes, giveaways, beer specials beer specials and custom brews for both playoff teams. Go to yahoosports.com/college podcast to RSVP and get more info. That's yahoosports.com/college podcast.
And that's it.
Are we going to go, Harmon? Are we gonna, like, can we all go?
I got plans.
No, let's go.
Let's go
I
drink.
Want some custom beer. I want some Alabama-themed, inevitably Alabama, predictably
yeah.
Alabama-themed brews.
Look. They get a name for the winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Crimson. Call me Deacon Blues. That's all I got to say.
There we go.
It's very poetic. Thank you for closing our 2018, our final Sunday show of the 2018 season. With that, we are taking a week and a half off. Yes, we are. So much avocado toast to make.
Next Sunday, I'm thinking about going and getting brunch and watching football all day and not be in this office. You want to come?
You're inviting me?
Yeah, well, yeah, I just did.
Yeah, kegs and eggs. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right. Scott, you want to fly in?
Yeah, Scott, fly in. Brunch.
I'll see what I can do.
All right.
There we go.
Bottomless Mimosas, thank you for sticking with us all year. We'll be back on January 4th. That's January 1, 2, 3, 4th to recap our thoughts on the season. So make sure to listen to that episode. I'm at LizLoza_FF. That over there getting me pumped for brunch next Sunday is at @MattHarmon_BYB. And all the way in Detroit holding it down for the Patriots fans is @Scott_Pianowski. Thank you for a wonderful year, gentlemen. Cheers.
Congratulations.
Happy New Year, everyone. Talk to you in 2019 and happy holidays. Hope Santa gets you what you're looking for. We out.